Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Laura Droff, and she is author of the new book, Angels on Earth, Inspiring Real-Life Stories of Faith, Friendship, and the Power of Kindness. From a woman who saved a life simply by buying someone a book, to a financier who gave a stranger the greatest gift of all, to a teacher who chose a hug over discipline and changed a lost boy's future, Angels on Earth introduces remarkable people whose invisible thread stories will move, surprise, and inspire readers. Angels on Earth sheds light on how everyone can live happier and more purposeful lives through sharing random acts of kindness. Laura Droff is an international and number one New York Times best-selling author and keynote speaker. Since the launch of her books, An Invisible Thread and An Invisible Thread Christmas Story, Laura has become a passionate and compelling voice on the power of acts of kindness and human connections. You can find out more by visiting her website, which is laurashroff.com, and that's laurashroff.com. And I do have a direct link to Laura's website in the show page description. And so now I'd like to welcome Laura to the show. Good day, Laura.
Well, thank you so much, Robert, for having me on your show. That was quite the introduction. I think you should talk about angels on earth. You did a great job.
I've met a few, and some tell me every now and then I might be one. We'll get into that. I really enjoyed reading your book. Those were really, heart-touching stories. And we're going to kind of go into some of the stories in the different areas, in which, they fall. But before we start, the book really is a culmination of stories that have kind of came to you after you did your number one bestseller, released your number one bestseller, An Invisible Thread. So, and you talk about that a lot in this book. So if you wouldn't mind, I think we should probably just let the listeners know a little bit about, because it really is kind of what launched you, what it seems to have like been the seed for many a story.
Yes, I have to honestly say the book An Invisible Thread really has changed my life, and it's changed my life in so many ways. But the story takes place back in 1986 when I was walking up my street in New York City. And this young boy, he was 11 years old at the time, said, "Excuse me, lady, do you have any spare change? I'm hungry." And at first I said no, and I kept walking. But then I realized what he said, and I went back to him. And I told him that I didn't want to give him any money because he was just a kid. But if he was hungry, I would take him over to McDonald's and get him something to eat. And it's interesting because Maurice was a little bit surprised, because more often than not, people treated him like he was invisible on the street. But he was hungry, so he said, sure. And we had lunch. We ended up even spending some time that afternoon taking a walk to Central Park. And then we went our separate ways. But for the entire week, I just couldn't seem to get him out of my mind. So on Thursday night after work, I decided to try to find him. And unbeknownst to me that night, he was very hungry, and he thought maybe if he stood on the same corner, he would see me again. And as I turned the corner, there he was. I asked him if he was hungry. He told me he was starving. So we went to McDonald's, and I said, "I've got a great idea." I said, "Why don't you meet me on the corner next Monday night, and we'll go out to dinner again?" And we wound up meeting every Monday for the next 4 years and hundreds of times thereafter. So really, An Invisible Thread is the story of our friendship, which is kind of intertwined also with my childhood and a little bit about my background.
Yeah, so, you know, the first of all, the idea of, you know, walking, I mean, I've been to New York a few times, and it is, I mean, it is more the case, you just, I mean, you just have to, you don't have to, but I mean, it's like everyone is walking by at a very fast pace, and it seems that, you know, it's many people just don't slow down or stop and just take a look around them. So, you know, I think it's just fate. No, but it's interesting, you know, that you're actually touched at that point to stop and turn around and go back. And now I believe, it's kind of jumping here, but I believe in the angels on earth, you talk about a bubble, you know, and it seemed like, you know, that
I was living in a bubble, maybe in my own world.
Yeah.
Trying to work
yeah.
up the corporate ladder, you know, pretty overplanned. But what was interesting about that particular day was I was supposed to take, it was Labor Day weekend, and it was a Monday, and I was supposed to take clients to the U.S. Open. And unfortunately, when I woke up that morning, it was raining, and the Open was closed. They took the Open for that day, so I actually had no plans. So when I went out to take a walk when it finally stopped raining, I was really not going in any direction. I was just going out to take a walk, and that's when I met Maurice. So sometimes I do wonder if I was living in my bubble at that point, you know, either on my way to work or whatever, would I have done what I did? But because of the day, it actually gave me the opportunity to kind of stop. And I do talk about how, you know, if we all just stop and pause for a moment, sometimes we'll see the most beautiful blessings that are in front of us. But in order to do that, we almost have to stop and be aware of what is around us.
Yeah, you know, that's the key, you know, is kind of taking that moment, kind of breaking with the pace, I guess, that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because right
yeah.
now, I mean, in today's world, everyone, I mean, we've got our days planned, you know, down to the minute, you know,
yep.
we've got our the typical routes we go every single day, you know, we very rarely, I mean, we live a lot of our life on automatic pilot, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, doesn't allow for, you know, those moments of inspiration or guidance that can really kind of alter the course of our life.
And, you know, that meeting, that day when I met Maurice, it not only changed my life, but it changed Maurice's life. And what's so interesting is it actually had this incredible ripple effect. We didn't know it at the time, but that it would impact not only the two of us, but also now his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
kind of
you know,
ripples
yeah.
outward.
Yeah, that's the one thing. Well, the invisible thread. Now, you know, when you talk about the invisible thread, you went through, and you and Maurice, you know, have this connection. So, can you talk just a little bit more about it? I mean, do you feel that that we create these threads, or do these threads exist and need to be ignited or recognized, what's your feeling on, you
well,
know,
I, you know,
an
invisible thread is an ancient Chinese proverb, and an invisible thread connects those that are destined to meet regardless of time, place, and circumstance. The thread may stretch or tangle, but it will never break. So that is really what an invisible thread means. I do believe that there are people who absolutely come into our lives for a reason, and we were destined to meet them. But I do think that we can also create our own invisible thread connections, people who we meet and we're supposed to meet. But unless we're open to what is around us, you know, it's kind of the difference between, and I talk about this in the book, Angels on Earth, all of us now are taking selfies. And when you take a selfie, it's a very narrow focused picture that you're taking. But when you take that camera and you turn it outward, what you're really taking is a much larger photograph, and you're seeing so much more. So I believe that with invisible threads, when we are aware of our surroundings, these people can come into our lives, but we have to recognize that they're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to be in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is sometimes not so easy.
No. You know, and that being mindful, you know, of kind of, you know, what's going on around us is, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, so many times we spend our thoughts, you know, in the past and in the future, you know, rather than, you know, being in the present. And it's, we just miss so much, you know, by living in those different time places, you know, than being here. So with the invisible thread, you published that. Now then, what happened? You started getting other people submitting stories commenting?
Which is so interesting, because I really don't know why I did it, but at the back of the book I said, if you have your own invisible thread story, share it with me. And I also put on my website, if you have an invisible thread story, please send me your story. And an invisible thread came out in November, and that December, I got my very first story, which was The Sunburn. And I guess that's chapter 28. But that was the very first story that I got. And I remember reading it, and I was so surprised that anybody would actually take the time and share their story with me. I was just like stunned by it. So, of course, I sent an email back to Angel Perez and I thanked him. And I ended up creating a folder on my computer that was Beautiful Invisible Thread Stories. And it wasn't really until 2015. I was still getting them. I thought, I've got so many stories that are so incredible. Why not try to do something with them? And that's when I came up with the idea, along with I have been enormously blessed to have a very talented co-writer who has helped take my information as well and help me bring it to another level. So I don't really call him a ghostwriter, because he's been very important and very important as far as the entire process. But I realized, mm-hmm. I'm like, these stories are really, really beautiful. And in fact, when the book was almost, when I had all the stories that I had put together, I thought it would be so nice to have a story about a pet. And the next day I received this story from this woman, Lucy Galassio. And it was her story of Jack the Rabbit and how Jack had come into her life. And she was a school teacher, and she was teaching children who needed extra care. And she decided one day to bring Jack the Rabbit into the classroom. And the children started to try to train the rabbit to do all of these special tricks. And so there's Jack the Rabbit in the book, and I believe that just like people come into our lives for a reason, I believe that animals do too, that an animal can be the sweetest and fluffiest angel on earth. And then I have another story of a woman by the name of Mary Phillips, and she had a little Bichon, and how this Bichon came into her life. It was no accident. She was meant to have this Bichon.
Yeah, you know, that was one thing, you know, when you were talking in the book, that, you know, people or animals, you know, that the fact that they come into your life for a period, you know, and know, that's the one thing that I've in the, you know, earthly angels encounters are that, you know, they're, and many times they're really for just a short period of time. And it just, even though the impact may go on for years, but it seems that the interaction is just it's kind of like a quick, you know, about tap, you know, here you are, this is what we're doing for you, this is what you're going to, you know, this is what, you know, how you can benefit, and, you know, your life's going to be different from this point forward.
And I completely agree with you, but, you know, it's interesting, with an invisible thread, I talk about, and I actually really talk about it even more so in Angels on Earth, but my mother passed away at the very young age of only 47, and I was 25. But it wasn't until an invisible thread came out that I started to believe or started to feel my mother's presence much more so than I had in the past. And I was going to one of my very first speaking engagements for Big Brother, Big Sisters. And I do tend to talk to my mother all the time. And I said, it would just be great if I knew that you would be with me. And I got to the event, and there was just this little girl. She was the sweetest little girl. And she kept looking at me, and we kept locking eyes. So finally I decided to go over and say hello to her. And I knelt down so we could be eye level, and I said, hi. I said, my name's Laura. I said, what's your name? And she looked at me with this very sweet, low voice, and she said to me, my name is Maria. And in that moment, I thought I would start to cry because my mother's name was Marie, but people called her Maria, and others called her Mary. And I've probably done over 200 speaking engagements, and there's always a Marie, a Mary, or a Marie in the room, and it's never failed. So I do believe, I actually talk about how I believe my mother is floating around in heaven with these beautiful, white, fluffy wings, but she has a clipboard, and she just, like, checks off all the things she needs to do for the day.
How about that? That's something that we know, and, you know, it's taking, you know, it's that awareness, taking that time and being aware that that's, you know, that's a critical part. Now, your book is broken down into many kind of many sections that we know, and the stories are kind of, you know, grouped per section. Yeah. So what I'd like to do is kind of talk a little bit about the different parts. There are 7 different parts. And maybe, you know, a story from each, just, you know, to give the listeners an idea. The first one is part one, and that's on kindness. And, you know, and you basically start off, you know, the book, and in each of the parts, each of the chapters or parts, like, you know, there'll be parts, and there's chapters within them. But with each of the parts, you kind of start off with a simple explanation of kind of the thread that ties together the stories within that section. And the one on kindness, you know, when you start off, you talk about that really this is something that, you know, we should be able to allow to happen automatically. So, you know, in a world where it seems that, and I mean, you know, I guess, you know, maybe we're just because the negativity seems to get a louder bullhorn than some kindness. But do you feel that kindness is getting its due? You know, that we're, you know, that it's out there, that we just really kind of just need to pay attention to it?
Well, you know, I absolutely believe that there is so much goodness in this world. And, you know, I think people, for the most part, really do want to be kind. And, you know, when you think about kindness is very simple. It's very easy. It's just a matter of doing something that would make another person feel good, something as simple as smiling or opening up the door and not slamming the door in someone's face. I think that for most people, kindness really does pretty much come naturally. But I do also believe that if you're aware of it, you can even be kinder. And, you know, I have talked about it in school with kids and, you know, have and I speak at all different levels, like what do you think is a small act of kindness? And, you know, when you talk to children in elementary school, and I do it really with my children's book, An Invisible Thread Christmas Story, it's amazing what these little children will say, what they think is a simple act of kindness. And then in high school, it's going to be a little bit different. But I think that for the most part, people do want to be kind. So in that particular, in part one, which was the section that kind of hit, starts off with kindness, there's the store, the chapter, the hug, the garage door opener, the wallet, and the neighbor. And, you know, I started off with the hug, and I talk about this one a lot because people say to me, you know what, I would really, really like to try to make a difference. I would like to do something, but I am really busy. I am stretched. You know, everybody's working really hard, so I just don't have the time. And so basically what I say is that, you know, you can make a difference in a person's life. Again, kind of going back, Robert, to what we were talking about, is if you're just aware of your surroundings. And the story of the hug is just about a mother who's in a supermarket. Her name is Drew Sanchez, and she sees another young mother with three small children. She can tell by everything that's in the basket that she's on a tight budget. The young boy is working with a calculator and either putting food into the basket or not putting it into the basket. And it reminded her, she was conscious. She was in that moment. And she decided that she wanted to try to help out because she knew what it was like to live on a budget when she was just a young single mother as well. And she got a gift card. And she went over to the woman and said, I don't mean to step, you know, out of boundary, but I would love to give you this gift card. And she didn't really know what or how the woman would react to it, but the woman looked at her, she gave her a hug, and she started to cry, and she said, thank you. And then as Drew turned around and walked away, the two little boys were asking for her to please stop, and they ran up to her, and they gave her a big hug and they just kept saying, thank you. And that moment, I'm sure, Andrew talks about how it changed her perspective. But also, too, I'm sure those young boys will talk about that story for a very long time. It was just a moment. It was just fleeting, and it happened and was done. But it'll stay with them forever. So that's the first section. The second section is, yes, you were going to say something?
Well, I was going to say about that hug. You know, the one thing, there are a couple of things in that one that just, I mean, it's a great story. A couple of things that really popped out for me were, number one, was that, you know, in the grocery store, their paths crossed several times. So it was one of those cases where, you know, for people out there who, you know, have that happen to them, that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you find yourself, you know, constantly running into or crossing paths with someone else. So, you know, that one, you know, and when that happens, you know, it's really important to take notice. So I thought, you know, that was something, you know, again, you know, listeners, for them to take note of. And then, you know, in this one, I think, wasn't she kind of going to wait for her to come up to check out?
I was kind of
first.
Giving the shorter version, but yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's good. What struck me about that is that it was kind of like, you know, she was going to wait for the woman to check out and then, you know, then pay. And then she, you know, after waiting and waiting, she went and, you know, gave her the card. So to me, it was like the going and giving of the card was more kind of it wasn't.
She took it one step further.
I mean, you know, it wasn't like, you know, because if the woman was there checking out and the other one's paying, I mean, it would be like, you know, in front of God and everybody. You know what I mean? It was just one of those things that would be highly noticed versus the intimacy of just those two and the sharing of the card and the giving of the card. To me, that I thought that was, you know, and the idea in that one is that, you know, to be that angel you don't need it to be noticed. You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't have to be noticed by others.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, anyway, that was one.
I wasn't sure how brief I should be, so I kind of cut out a lot of these.
No, that's okay.
It was interesting because she went up to the registers and she was waiting for her to come in. Then she thought she insulted her, but she didn't want to leave. And that's when she decided, you know what, I'm just going to go over and get a gift card for her and just go find her again and give her this gift card. So she felt this tug at her heart, and she felt that she was supposed to do something. She just wasn't supposed to just leave the store and forget that she ever saw this woman with her three children.
Yeah, that was. Anyway, and I think that's the beauty of your stories, is that the reader will take away from it different things. You know, different things will kind of stand out and kind of grab attention, you know, and again, I think that's what the beauty of it and,
now what readers have told me a lot is they love to put the book by their bedside table, and what they love to do is read just one story a night, because it's just a great way to kind of end a day, because the stories are different, but they're all just really warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, they are in
their own way.
For those who, you know, like me, who recognize that it's kind of really important on what we focus before we go to bed, you know, focusing or having, you know, the last thing coming into our mind being a heartwarming story of connection, you know, is a great way to kind of leap into the world of sleep and dreams. So.
And the second part is called Yesness, that's the snowstorm, the knock, the bookstore, and the mitzvah. And basically, Annie Bonner, who her chapter is in a different, her story is in a different chapter. But what Bonnie said, Annie Bonner said, was that what she really loves is the word yesness. And yesness actually kind of captures this feeling, this moment, this internal click that kind of reaffirms that, wait a minute, I need to do something. And when you really think about angels on earth or angels are not really taught to say no. Angels are in the business of saying yes. So that's where yesness comes in, although I don't really think it's a word. But the mitzvah is, I don't know if you, I had a chance to read the mitzvah story, but that's a very sweet story because that's a story about a young girl, Avital, and she was doing her mitzvah project in school, and she read An Invisible Thread with her mother, and she decided that she wanted to do her project on my book, and she ended up calling, and she wanted to interview me, so we set up a time to her to talk to me, and I ended up going to her school.
Mm-hmm.
But then a couple of weeks after we met, she was coming out of a parking lot with her mom, and she saw a man holding a sign, and he was asking for diapers and things that a father would need for his children. And she made her mother turn around and go back to the store, and her mother was like, we've got so much to get done. And she's like, no, we have to go back. We have to go back. We have to help this man. And so they went back to the store, and they purchased diapers and milk and just things that children would need. And when they got to the corner, she got out of the car with the bags. And what surprised her was the mother and a couple of the children came out, and she was able to actually give this family some of the things that they needed.
Yeah, that, you know, and wasn't that the one where when the girl introduced you in the school, and the parents were just really, really pleased, really happy with kind of, you know, the impact that your book made on her, you know? And,
well, when she when she emailed me and she wanted to know if she could send me some questions, I emailed her back and I said, rather than do it, you know, through email, do you want to just give me a call and we'll set up a time? And she called and she was, excuse me for 1 second. Sorry. So she's asking me all these little, all these stories, just like a little reporter. And at one point I said to her, this sounds like this is a really big project. And she said, oh, yeah, it's a really big project. We're having an event at our school and we're all presenting and it's really big. And I said to her, would you ever want me to come? And she said to me, well, my mom made me promise that I wouldn't ask because I was stepping over the line. She said, but Mom, she just asked if she could come. And so I went, and it was just the sweetest, the most wonderful moment. Not for, it was for her, but probably for me it was even 10 times. It was, oh, she started to cry when she saw me. It was the sweetest thing.
Well, that is real nice.
So
yeah.
I was so happy to include her story in my book.
Yeah. The one story in that section, too, that I liked was the snowstorm, you know, with Linda and Irving.
Linda,
you know, and yeah, and, you know, the moral, whenever you have a chance to help someone, you have to do it because it's a chance. It's a, because the chance is a blessing. So, you know, to me it was, you know, in a time when, you know, so many people are in need of help, you know, that it's really important to look at it as an opportunity to make, you know, make a difference.
To make a difference. But the way that Irving was able to articulate it was so wonderful.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It wasn't easy for him to take Linda in. Linda, you know, was 17 years old. Her stepfather kicked her out on a day when there was a major snowstorm. And on her bicycle, she, you know, drove miles to get to her friend Cynthia's house. And there was the father at the front door thinking, are you kidding? I have barely enough money to feed my own children. This place is small enough. But basically he felt that it was a blessing.
Yeah, very much so. Now, okay, so that was the yesness, part two. And part three is outwardness. You know, and that one is basically the idea is living life in an outward way is vital to our happiness and well-being. So quite often we retreat, right? And, you know, and really don't put ourselves out there for people.
Yeah. And again, you know, outwardness is just being aware or trying to be aware and experience the moment when it's right there, when it's right before you.
Now, is there any particular story in the outwardness that kind of really strikes you?
Well, the one that strikes me, and this is a pretty complicated one, because you know we think about how if we have a big decision to make, you know, would we make it? And Jason Bradburn, the donor, he is a senior VP at Morgan Stanley, and he had signed up for a stem cell or a bone marrow donor transfer for a colleague who was gravely ill. Unfortunately, his colleague passed away, but then about 2 or 3 years later, he found out that he was the perfect match for another recipient. But this time it was a complete stranger, and he was not allowed to meet this person. And all of a sudden, Jason was faced with this question, this very difficult question: how far are we willing to go to help a complete stranger who is really in need? And Jason decided that it was important, that he had an opportunity to really make a difference in the life of somebody else. And Jason basically just said, or Jason really believes, that we are all not only responsible for one another, but we are blessed to be able to be helpful.
That was
you know, and the thing about this particular case, unfortunately the donor did pass away, but the donor passed away a few years after after Jason helped him. So Jason never really knew very much about his life other than he was a man that was in his 60s. So you never know that by doing what he did, he might have been able to go to his daughter or son's wedding. He might have been able to experience one grandchild or two grandchildren. He might have been able to experience something in his life that if Jason hadn't helped him, he wouldn't have had the mm-hmm. chance. That's an amazing gift.
Yeah.
It's an amazing gift not only to the person who is the receiver, but it is an amazing gift for the person who is being the giver.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. And, you know, in all of these connections, you know, there is a benefit for each person connected. I mean, the connection lifts, kind of lifts both people up.
Yes.
You know, and that's the one thing that, you know, for people out there who shy away from making connections, you know, that is really kind of important to consider, you know, that if you want to lift up your life, then, you know, start lifting up someone else's, you know, and yours is gonna, it's just going to naturally do it for you as well.
You know, you can also think of it kind of like you have an opportunity to throw a lifeline to someone, but at the end of the day, you're not sure who really held on to that lifeline. Did I hold on to it? And was I the person that really got the lifeline, or was it really the other person? Because you throw that lifeline without knowing, you know, what the results will be. And sometimes when you throw this lifeline, you don't find out until many years later how you did really make a difference. But it's
right.
Those lifelines they come in all different shapes and forms.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Laura, I want to take just a quick break. We're a little past halfway through the show, and I do want to invite listeners, if they want to call in and make any comments or tell us their angel earth angel story, they can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to type them in. And then when we come back, we'll go ahead and talk about awareness, part four, and a story in there as well, okay? So everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is Laura Schroff, and we're talking about her new book, Angels on Earth, Inspiring Real-Life Stories of Fate, Friendship, and the Power of Kindness. Again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is laurashroff.com. That's LauraSchroff.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. And this is a really good book, folks. You would really enjoy it. Trust me. I enjoyed it. So I really did enjoy it, Laura. You know, it's one of those, you know, and also one of the beauties is that the stories are short. You know, they're, you know, for, I mean, there were times when I would read maybe two at a time. Like you said, one person reading one at a night before going to bed is a good thing too. But since I needed to read more before today's show, like, you know, two or three at a time. And it was great. I mean, there were just the perfect bite-sized bits of love and kindness that you need.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I can tell you really have read the book. I'm so honored and I'm so touched. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. It was easy. It was an easy.
Well,
I've had some of them that are like on quantum physics that I just like, oh, read my way through. But you know, this one was not quantum physics. This was down, you know, down to earth, literally down to earth kind of love.
You know, it's really interesting because when An Invisible Thread came out, my sister Annette, and God love her, everybody loves her, she called and said, I really, really liked the book, but it's just, I don't know. She said, Laura, it's just kind of like so simple. I said, Annette, it's supposed to be. This is not supposed to be some major work of art. I said, it's a simple story told in a very kind of realistic, simple way.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it is. You know, and truly people from teens on up to people in their 80s and 90s are going to love it. I mean, truly, it's got that range. So, okay. So, part four, awareness. You know, we talked a little bit about this during the first half of the show. We kind of have to be in the moment and have that awareness. And but in this particular one, you also talk about how it's really important for us to figure out the reason why someone or something is happening. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we're not going to have, you know, I mean, things happen, and then, you know, it's kind of like, again, for us to be able to figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
In this particular one, that was really interesting, the hurricane story. With Tom and Linda and the MS, you know, the multiple sclerosis. I thought, you know, that was so topical, you know, considering we just had three major hurricanes, you know, hitting us here. And one of them that you talk about in there, having hit Puerto Rico, and it's like, oh, you know, it was like, wow. You know, but that was a really good story, you know, recognizing that out of that, you know, disaster, love came out and really helped those two individuals.
It is definitely one of my favorites, that's for sure. And, you know, again, it's taking something that was really, really terrible. Linda and Tom both had MS. Linda was living, you know, on Long Island. It was Hurricane Irene. She had to be moved for the time being, but her home was ultimately destroyed. So she was sent to a place where they really kind of focused in on people who have MS. Tom, on the other hand, his caretaker just kind of got tired of taking care of him and actually put him in a car, took him to the hospital in the area, kind of like left him on the sidewalk. And so Tom ended up in the same hospital, and he ended up meeting Linda. And he thought Linda was the most beautiful woman in the world. Excuse me. And before they knew it, they became incredible friends, and they now live together in a home. They have their own home with a caretaker, and he thinks that she's the most beautiful woman in the world, and she thinks he's beyond handsome. And what's so heartwarming about this story is that here were two people that thought their lives were over because of their disease.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, if their lives had only begun.
Yeah. That when the part in that story when I guess Linda was in the hospital or something, and her daughter comes in and she just shows her her ring. You know, it's like, I'm an Osmo, but look at this ring, the ring on my finger here. So, you know, but I just kind of chuckle at that because it really that kind of demonstrates her mind, and that she was not focused on the hospital or her illness or anything. She was just focused on her happiness, this ring on my finger.
And what about the part two, how playful they were? She had a motorized wheelchair, and he did not. So he would hold on to the back of her wheelchair, and she would use the motor, and they would tool around the hospital. And, of course, they got into trouble, like two kids, and they were told they had
couldn't.
To stop.
I know it.
Sorry about that. Oh, my goodness. Talk about sweet.
Yeah,
and you know what's interesting about that story is I would say Angels on Earth was about 98% finished. And this story all of a sudden was sent to me. And I'm like, oh, my God, we have all the stories. I have all the stories that I want. And I read this story, and I thought, oh, my God. It's not only – it's a love story. A true love story. And so I emailed the person who sent me the story and said that I would love to include it. And we wanted to interview her. And she ended up going into the hospital, and she was in the hospital for about a week. And I'm like, you know what? We're not finishing this book until we can include this story. So I love the fact that you love that story.
And again, it particularly because of what's going on right now, all of the hurricane stuff, and it's such a focus, and the idea out of tragedy, and both of those people, Linda with the flooding in her home, and Tom being left on the on the sidewalk, both of them with a bleak, outlook of what kind of lies ahead, and yet it all came together, perfectly. So
the other story in that section that I absolutely loved, and when I read it, it just made me cry when I got the email, was Nancy Kropachek, and it's the story of her daughter who was born with a heart problem, and she died shortly thereafter. And she went home as a grieving mother. And then a few weeks later, she was living in a community. And there was a mother, Mary, who was young, was in college, and her twins were born early, and she just couldn't take care of them. But she didn't want to give them up for adoption, and she didn't want to have them separated. And she asked if Nancy could take them. And there Nancy was, taking now these two twins that came into her life at a time that was so devastating. And she knew from the very beginning that she might not be able to keep them forever. And she didn't. Her mother came back for them. But that was a story that I just think is so beautiful. Oh, but God, it made me cry. Oh, my God.
I'm sure. So, gosh, we're running a little bit over, but I want to, I kind of want to just go through a little quickly the remaining three parts. One of them is uniqueness. Now, I like that one because, in that one, you talk about, many people will try to find a lot of reasons why we can't be angels. I don't have money. I don't have time. So-and-so would be better at this than I would be, And, that's the one thing I think is people go through and read your book. It's anyone and everyone, no matter what, can be an angel.
Mm-hmm. And those stories are also absolutely fabulous, every single one of them. And they're all so different.
Yeah, exactly. And then part six was clearness. That's the ability, to see things others can't. And it's something you call angel vision. What's that?
Well, angel vision is just about, it's seeing seeing something for, seeing it for how it is. And when you see it, you trust that what you're seeing is something you're supposed to see. And I'm probably not even explaining it the way I'd like to. But by having angel vision, you're almost like seeing a miracle. It's something that's so sweet that it's a clearness that makes you want to continue to look at what you're seeing, not to move on, to be in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last part is connectedness, and that talks about that everybody has these connections, that we honor and activate those connections through kindness. And then this particular one, you have a couple of stories, and they deal with that our invisible threads endure beyond life, that they're endless. And in that particular one, I loved the story of the child with Sebastian. I mean, that's a wonderful story.
You know, the thing about the story with Sebastian is, I have said to many people, you probably need a box of Kleenex when you're reading this chapter because it is a riveting story of Horst and Luisa Ferrero, and they were living every parent's nightmare. They brought their son, Sebastian, in for a very simple procedure. It was not a big deal, and a mistake was made, and this poor, young, beautiful boy at the age of 3 died. And these people were like any parent. I mean, I don't know how you even begin to pick up the pieces and move on. But they really were determined to take their intense sorrow and turn it into something that was good. They wanted to honor their son. And so they became devoted to opening up a section in the hospital where parents could bring their children, where the parents would feel safe and the children would feel happy. And it took them, I think it was 8 years, to actually finish the whole project, but they finally did cut the ribbon. And the part about that story that I love, while it's such a heartbreaking story, it's also so heartwarming. And, you know, I do believe in heaven. I do believe in angels on earth, and I believe in angels in heaven. And for me, that's a story that kind of proves that there are angels on earth and there are these sweet angels in heaven. But also for people who have experienced, you know, devastating losses in their life, I think that this story kind of exemplifies how the invisible threads that we have on earth go beyond just this life, and that connectedness, which is this section, defines us defines it in such a way where we know that these angels who are on earth and are then in heaven are truly always going to be with us, and that they're really isn't a difference between an angel in heaven or an angel on earth, because the angel on earth is a person who is going to go to heaven and be an angel in heaven.
Yeah, what struck me was, the parents, you talked in there about the parents, really it could have been easily have spiral downward, which happens often with, in those kinds of situations where they end up in divorce and all of that kind of thing. But they seemed, despite the fact that the hospital made the error, I mean, they weren't litigious, they did settle, the case, but it was like they turned it around. They made it, atrium. I just had a picture of that atrium. They made it a special honor. And then the fact that, not only is the connection, between the parent Sebastian and his parents, kind of continuing and stronger, but just also the all of the children that were impacted from that point forward. So, I mean, it was like, you know, those invisible threads continued to be formed, you know, mm-hmm. with Sebastian, you know, even though he's not here, not in the physical plane.
Yeah, but they honored him in a way that would not only honor them, but it also basically would help other children, so that something like that would never, ever, ever happen again. And, you know, the Gainesville Hospital and the section where they helped build is, like, renowned, you know, in the Florida area. And it's the state-of-the-art hospitals for children. And it's amazing because, you know, so many more, both of their lives could have gone in such terrible, terrible direction. I mean, that was a tearjerker when I got that. You know, so imagine me. I am receiving these emails and these stories, and people are trusting me to hold on to their story and then give me the honor to be able to put their story into the marketplace. I mean, talk about being blessed. I mean, I know it's my book, and it's only my book because I put it all together. But the stories, what makes me so proud is that all of these stories are so sweet and so touching, so life-changing, and I was given this incredible gift to be able to do that, to put them out there.
Yeah.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't count my blessings, and I don't really quite understand it, but all I know is I feel incredibly blessed.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, you know, by putting out an invisible thread, it was already out there, you know, that you were an authentic presenter, you know, presenter of that form of our existence. You know, so I was like, okay, we're going to reward her by giving her a whole bunch more stories, you know, to get that there. But anyway, it really is great, you know. And we had one of my favorite listeners in the UK, Lynn, was listening to the whole show, and she said it was a lovely show, and was sharing it all around. So, I really wanted to thank you for your time.
I really
enjoyed it.
And I really thank your listeners for taking the time to listen all about An Invisible Thread and Angels on Earth. And I bet you have so many listeners who are an angel to someone.
Yep,
I believe that they are. Well,
you're very welcome.
Thank you so much for all of your time.
Now, you're welcome. Are you on social media at all there?
Yes, I'm actually
connect?
Facebook. Yes, Facebook. I'm trying to figure out LinkedIn, but I am on LinkedIn.
Okay.
But Facebook, I have an invisible thread. I have an author page, but I also have just Laura Schroff, and that's the one that I'm on usually all the time. And then, of course, the website. And I think I did mention that any of your listeners can go actually onto the website and they can meet the angels. There's like a photo gallery.
Great. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, I will be sure to
at laurashroff.com.
Okay, great. So I'll be sure to connect with you. I really want to be able to follow your journey. And so you know, I do LinkedIn too, but Facebook, I got my radio page. So I look forward to connecting with you and following you, Laura.
Robert, thank you. And if you'd like for me to share anything on my website, I'd be delighted to do that as well. If you want to send me the link.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I'll be happy to do it. Thank you again for your time.
Okay. Thank
you. Everyone, again,
you're
welcome. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Laura Schroff. We've been talking about her new book, Angels on Earth, Inspiring Real-Life Stories of Fate, Friendship, and the Power of Kindness. And again, you can join her on Facebook and LinkedIn, but you can also go to her website to get more information, and that is laurashroff.com, L-A-U-R-A-S-C-H-R-O-F-F.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And until we meet again.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.